Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. It is me, it is Tom Dutton, it is Jack Gill, and it is Ross Chanley with Si Fletcher behind the glass.
Nicely done.
I thought so too. Yeah. It's easy when you know everyone's surnames.
What's yours?
Hey, Jack.
There you go.
Just around Spider. Actually pronounced Payon because it's got a little sear under the second name.
Really,
do you know I had an accent on my name? Have you got accents on your names? No, because you're a Brexit.
Mine's boring as fuck.
Have you ever used the accent when you said anyone that's your name?
No, because you're like, a Brexit. You can't even say it. So like my mammy started going on, like, it's like it's a sear. It's called. It's like a little five without the top line under the A.
Imagine the if every time you like started a phone conversation, you went Mr. Payjack, and you went no. Pionk.
Pionk.
Yeah. And they'll be like, what? No, it's not.
Yeah, anyway, shut up, Brexit. So we're here to talk about Liverpool against Leicester. It's the return of Brendan Rodgers. Firstly, third in the table.
Mad.
Brendan Rodgers. Was he a good manager for Liverpool Football Club? Is he a good manager?
I mean, he's showing that he is a good manager. He went to Celtic. I mean, yeah, one horse race there, but he still had to do it there, you know what I mean?
He didn't fall off.
Exactly, there you go, exactly. But he did really well over there, and now he's at Leicester. I think they're playing some really good football and a dangerous attacking side, and it's shades of what we used to play. I mean, obviously, there's another Luis Suarez and a fit and fine Daniel Sturridge and an up-and-coming Raheem Sterling, but he's got some good players in that side. I can't wait to see him back. I want to see just how we've evolved from him as well, you know what I mean, in terms of can our style now beat that style that Brendan Rodgers has now, and it's obviously going to have evolved from his Liverpool days. I'm really looking forward to this matchup.
No, I think, Jack, I mean, I'm massively looking forward to it, like Tom, and when you look at this Leicester side, and, you know, they've got more clean sheets than us this season. They've conceded the same amount of goals as us. You know, let's have a look at the league table now. They've scored 13 and conceded 5, which is exactly the same as we've conceded. It looks on paper like they're not Brendan Rodgers' Liverpool. They are Brendan Rodgers, who's improved, who understands maybe that you do need to defend a little bit more. He's clearly gotten better as a manager. He's got trophies under his belt now, and he wanted to come back to England to prove himself, which I think is brilliant. I think he's a much better manager than Frank Lampard. I think he's a much better manager than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And to be honest, if he breaks the top four with this Leicester side, which I think there's a chance of, he should be getting another big job sometime soon in the league.
Well, Brendan Rodgers at the minute at Leicester's got a better squad than United and Arsenal. I think that's not even debatable. I think he genuinely does have a better squad.
In terms of
all-rounded players, I think he's got...
Arsenal?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've got defenders and stuff like that.
So obviously the front three, you're not going to compare Perez to Aubameyang and that, but in terms of the squad as a whole, I think he's got a better squad than them. And I think, to be honest with you, I think it's going to be a very good game. I think he's going to come, he's quite a proud man, so he's going to try and attack us. He's going to be that sort of, playing that sort of way, and it's going to be difficult. It's like you said, they've got a good defence, they've got Ben Chilwell, he's playing really good. They've got Soyuncu, Soyuncu, the one that looks like that fella from Shrek.
Lord Farquhar.
Yeah, that's the one. And,
I you to know
I think they're going to be brilliant.
Of course.
Watch it every day.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be... I can't believe it's not on telly, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's Saturday 3 o'clock. It's a bit mad, isn't it? Yeah. Ross, I thought Brendan Rodgers was a good manager for us. I really liked him. And towards the end, I think everybody soured on Brendan Rodgers for obvious reasons. We were really poor after that title challenge the year after and stuff, and we struggled for reasons. One of the things that I always think... I, as a football fan, and I'll talk about myself and not other people here, because it's not great to tarnish people with this sullied brush, as it were. I sometimes forget that players and managers can improve. And I always think of them as, well, they were this, and I've pigeonholed them as that almost for the rest of their life. And that's not fair. You know, we as people change and we grow and we get better at things and worse at things as we grow up. Brendan Rodgers, for me, looks like a manager who's clearly improved with his time at Celtic. He's doing well with Leicester. I thought at the beginning of the season, I thought he'd struggle because I didn't think he'd be able to get a tune out of Vardy. Mate, he's got a fucking orchestral coming out of Vardy at the moment. Yeah. He's flying. And there's a lad who always puts us under pressure, isn't it? So where are you with Brendan Rodgers right now?
I think after you stop and reflect on it, after a while, I think at the time, I think you're right, everyone's quite bitter because it goes so sour very quickly. But you think, like you've just said there, he's almost done it in reverse order. Like if he went Leicester, Celtic, then Liverpool, you think that would be sound. But like the age that he was to take the Liverpool job was huge. It's a massive job for anyone to take. And I think if you look at the bigger picture of like people, like we've got it now of people on the board, people are up the top, have got a marriage between the Klopp and the squad and the fans now. That wasn't there years ago when everyone says that, you know, Suarez led that team. You just said there, you had to do that with Celtic and put them together. He used Liverpool's strengths. You know, we had the front three of, you know, Sterling, Suarez and Sturridge. You got to tune out all them three. But at the back, he had Lovren, Skrtel, and, you know, Alberto Moreno and the likes of that, them people. And then we were buying people that was employed with a, you know, a committee. That's not all down to his fault. Just on face value, when you see results, the manager ultimately gets the blame for it. But I think on reflection, if you take as a whole his age, the team that he had, and you know, the situation that he found himself in, it's not a bad job. You just get annoyed naturally as a fan because you're not winning, and because we came so close to winning the title.
Anyone think he won't get a good reception? I think he will. I think that enough time has gone by that he'll be respected for what he did achieve at Liverpool, and he did create a great side.
There's a couple of things that probably don't play into his hands. The fact that you know, documentary that he did was, you know, it was like watching The Office, wasn't it?
God, I've forgotten all about that, mate. I think I just
blanked three envelopes.
Yeah. The three envelopes. You know, it was just all a bit Brent, wasn't it? It was a bit embarrassing. I think there's personal things that happened off the field,
yeah,
which you know, a lot of people kind of know about. And morally, you know, that's not right. It's nothing to do with us, really, is it? But I think, you know, if there's anything going to be negative said about him, it'll be that. But as a manager, I don't think so.
I think it's one of them. No, we've got Jurgen Klopp, so it doesn't matter. It'd be one thing if we had a terrible manager and we were doing badly, and then Rodgers comes back and like he's better than what we have now. Jurgen Klopp's better in every single instance. I remember Rodgers doing press conferences, and you're like, shut up, lad. Shut up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I never felt like that, but
he always said the same thing.
But it was one of them where you're thinking, I'm sort of bored of it a tiny bit. But
not as bored as Hodgson's press conference, because I would actually turn that off.
Oh, no.
I would all not watch them. And that was the only Liverpool manager I've ever not listened to talk.
You know what I mean? But then you look at Jurgen Klopp, and he made me feel better after we lost in against Sevilla in the Europa League final. He made me believe.
Wasn't that our hug?
I mean, it was, yeah, that too, but I think it was one then. We were devastated driving home from that game, and I was thinking, I want to watch and I want to see what Jurgen Klopp has to say, and feel like that with Rodgers, really. And maybe that's just
I remember you playing that, you played that loud for us in the car, because I think you'd listened to it with headphones on or something, and you were like, you need to listen to this, and you just played it, and it was like, oh God, it's going to be okay because Jurgen's there.
Yeah, and now we're looking at it, and that's the thing, is we can look at Brendan Rodgers and we can enjoy his nice play. We can see Leicester and go, oh, he's really improved in this area. And then we go, but we're European champions, lads, and we're doing this, and you're coming to us, and we're gonna show you now, Rodgers, what I mean, you should have made Liverpool into. Maybe he didn't have time, maybe he didn't have the personnel, but it was also, look at who Klopp brought in and look at who Rodgers wanted to bring in. You can talk about committees and stuff, but I mean, we're worlds apart now. Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be easy by any means, but
I think it'll be a very, very tough game, Jack.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think if we still had the sort of team that Klopp inherited when he first came in, I think people would be a bit bitter towards Rodgers, but the thing is, Klopp can spend money well, whereas that was Rodgers' weak point at us, obviously. We lost our best player, we would turn around, sign Ricky Lambert and wasted the money in the way we did. So it's a good job Leicester didn't let him spend the Maguire money, but I do think it's
best
very really good, but
I hope we win this game, you know.
He fought like half shot with it though.
He was already there though.
Yeah, they had that lad already in the wing. Yeah, that's why you take 85 million for Harry Maguire when you've got a player like that there though. He's been brilliant.
I think he played 5 games last season. Mm-hmm. So he did. Kept him on the bench, watched Maguire.
And just, oh, yeah, you want him for 85? He's got a lad here that's just as good.
He's got three accents on his name, so he's beating
him. He's better than you.
Oh, he's looking down on me and calling me Brexit, isn't he? Sly,
the levels of Brexit.
Oh, he's got a smiley face twice, isn't he?
He does.
And one emoji that does this. They're the best. They're not fucking accents, they're emojis, them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Love that. Love to see it, to be honest. Yeah. Absolutely love
you
to see it.
You don't see it enough anymore.
Fair play to him. Like Perez, that's just a bit boring, isn't it? The little accent on the A, like Mana, you know what I mean? Nothing about them.
Put three umlauts.
The emojis, that's class. I love it. Like, but Barnes is gutted there, isn't he? He's looking around. That sees his name on the side.
Ashley Barnes.
Ashley Barnes.
He's good,
isn't
he?
That's not Ashley Barnes.
Oh, no, it's
anyway,
not Ashley Barnes, though.
It's Barnes plays for Burnley. We've moved on slightly, so we'll try and get back to it rather than just talk about accents on names.
It's going to be a good game of football.
Football doesn't have any accents
that,
on.
That you in Soren Koo's name, that's going to be me after the game. That smiley face.
Big happy. Love it. Got to love it. How does Salzburg change our approach, Ben, if it, sorry, Ross, if it does at all?
Ben. Yeah. Well, Paul.
Come on, lad. This lad's got an accent on his name. You're confused.
Sorry,
me
Paul. Ultimately, I think
it's the Paul, by the way.
I'm sorry, the Paul Machin. It's a bit of a wake up call, isn't it? Because ultimately, I know you've done this in the final word, but complacency crept in for me yesterday of just like, you know. Almost arrogance. It was a piece of piss, wasn't it? 3-0 up and going, I think it's going to be 6-7-0, and in my head I was going, get Origi on, get Chamberlain on, get them some game time.
I typed the tweet 40 or 38 minutes into the game when we were 3-0 up and said time to rest the boys. Oh. I didn't press send thankfully on that one.
Yeah, thank God.
But it is that, you know, switch on, you know, not every game is going to be easy. I think as fans we need to do that as well. Every game is a piece of piss. Leicester are coming off the back of a 5-0 win, but they played Newcastle, and Newcastle had, well, down to 10 men, and they were terrible. You know, they've not really faced anyone, Leicester. You know, look, they scored 13 goals but they conceded 5, so they're not really outscoring teams by huge margins, are they? But I think Liverpool have got that in the locker, that they've got, you know, a solid defence and a decent attack now. I think, you know, Liverpool should be better than them, but I don't think we should be taking it as an easy ride.
Did Leicester beat Man United at Old Trafford?
No. True.
They lost.
Oh, they lost. Oh,
yeah. Who, Leicester played someone decent.
Tottenham. They beat Tottenham.
Oh, Tottenham.
And
it, yeah.
They drew with Chelsea and lost to United.
So Ross is right. They've not really played anyone.
No.
I suppose all of them down to. I mean, like, they beat Tottenham, but sort of Bayern Munich, and, you know, we beat Bayern Munich, but and we beat Tottenham in the Champions League last season. So
that's how football works.
But it's like a top two now, isn't it? And everyone else is, like you said before, it's like. Yeah.
I love that. If you've not played Liverpool or City, you've not played anyone. I know.
But like, this is going to be, genuinely a very difficult game of football, this.
It is.
Because these will come and do what Norwich did against us. All right, Norwich lost, and they will do what Sheffield United did, and they'll do what Salzburg did. They'll play their own way.
I don't think Salzburg's the ones we look at. I think we look at Sheffield because they played us fantastically. That's the script of how to play Liverpool, is playing with no fear. Obviously, you've got to sit in your bank of 10. I get that. And Sheffield did that for periods of the game. But what Sheffield did so well, and again, if you haven't seen it, go and watch the stats and tactics that Chris did, because you analysed just how Sheffield that, like, attacked us with that two men up front. And look, Vardy is fantastic at that. And if they can get midfield runners coming up behind and occupying that space for Virgil van Dijk and the attack that other centre-half, whether it's Matip or whether it's Gomez, whether it's Lovren, it's one of them where Vardy's got the quality one-on-one to beat anyone. He's fantastic. And you've got to look at how Liverpool can combat that. And that's the one thing is, We did get through the Sheffield United game and we did create chances, to be fair to us. I just hope we can learn from that in terms of defensively, and how do we bolster that? How do we make sure that we don't get caught out in them one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three situations against Leicester?
Okay, well, we'll take a little break now and we're going to go to a clip from the final word show. Matip's been playing better, and Matip played better in every game this season for me than Joe Gomez did last night. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that Joe Gomez was an absolute stinker. And I think there's reasons why. I think he is rusty. He's going to take time to get back into the side. You can clearly see he's got the quality there. He still showed those moments of quality. But to say he had a great game, I'm really surprised at.
So, in terms of fullbacks, Trent and Robbo, were they great defensively?
No, probably not. But then it's not really their job role to be a flat back four, is it?
So the third goal where Robbo is pressing the man and he lets the ball through, that's his fault. Trent should be covering the man at the back stick. You can't blame Joe Gomez for that third one for me. I think he showed his pace. He showed the fact that we bring him in.
So you're trying to say that Gomez had a good game because Trent and Robbo didn't?
I'm saying if you think they've had a good game, then Gomez has had a good game for me. I think
Joe Gomez doesn't get a goal or an assist.
No, he doesn't, because that's not his role.
Exactly my point.
But the thing is, I think he's coming back in. Joe Matip's been fantastic, and first half when we're playing that first 40 minutes, yes, the whole team was fantastic, but Joe Gomez was brilliant.
So there you go. That was me and Tom sat exactly where we are now in exactly the same clothes, having an argument about Joe Gomez. But I think it's important, and you know, the best thing about that show was that we all had different opinions on things, and I sometimes think that's what makes a good show for me. So if you are a little bit unsure and you've missed the final word, obviously we're making the one final word a week free on YouTube. You want the one after last night's game against Salzburg, then do go over to the redmentv.com. It is £5 a month. There is still a free month trial on there, so you can trial it out for a month. If you like it, keep it. If you don't like it, fuck it off. But definitely check that one out. So Tom, yeah, I think it leads nicely, that clip, actually, into what we're going to talk about now, and that is our preferred 11s. And I think the big talking point, I suppose, is Matip or Gomez.
I know...
If Matip's fit, and we think he will be at this point.
I think the one thing that we don't really speak about on the final word in that clip is Joe Matip's passing is fantastic, and Gomez's passing was a little bit off. I think defensively, both really, really solid, and I think Gomez can step into them shoes defensively. It's the passing, it's the breaking down teams, it's the packing stuff where you're missing out at home midfield and an attack in terms of their press, and you're getting it to the attacking midfielder, and then you've got not all the space in the world, but you've got your front three in front of you, and you've got that midfielder, usually Gini, who picks that ball up and turns. I think it's one of them where I'd be fine with Gomez coming in, less so Dejan Lovren, but I don't think he'll play. But I think that's what I'm not bothered anymore. I'm not worried about our centre-half. If Matip can't play, Joe Gomez will come in, he'll play well, and it's furthering his progression, his development this season. If Joe Matip comes in, he's been playing arguably better than Virgil van Dijk this whole season, so I'm not worried.
If they're both fit and they're both available, who are you taking?
Joe Matip.
What about you, Jack?
Joe Matip, 100%. The form he's on at the minute, no question about it. Playing incredible football. It's like we spoke in the final word about how perhaps at the start of the season he's been better than van Dijk. For me, if he's fit to play, starting.
Ross?
Yeah, I'm the same. I think, one thing Joe Gomez got on his side is his age, hasn't he? And I was doing the agenda for the thing, and James Pearce has done an article on him to say, at this point in the careers, Van Dijk was still at Groningen and Harry Wire was still at Hull.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? So when you put it in perspective like that, you think the amount of pressure this lad's put on, he just seems, because he's been at Liverpool since 2015, around then.
Was it that early, was it?
I think so, yeah. You think he's older, don't you? The expectancy on his shoulders is huge, but the form that he's been in previously is good. But then it's also really hard for, like, last night to say you've not played for ages because Matty's been out playing, you had your injuries, go and play a game. You can't risk putting someone in because every game is high pressure at the minute. You know, this Leicester game, we're 5 points clear, but you can't just go, oh, you need some game time, put you in. You put your player who's been playing the best, and that's Matip.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think Matip's done absolutely nothing to lose his place, and I don't quite think that Gomez did enough to take that place, which is what he definitely did for me last season, but he had a spell of games to do it because of the injuries to Matip and Lovren. So I think moving through the preferred 11s then, the likelihood is here that Klopp is probably going to play as close to the team that started last night. I can't imagine that Alisson's going to come in for this one with the international break looming, which means that Trent and Robbo, Van Dijk are probably dead set with Adrian. Question mark over Matip and Gomez, as we know, based on Matip's fitness. Midfield, plus point. I don't think the midfield was great against Salzburg. Plus point, two of the lads got a little bit of a rest, and two of the lads that have played some of the most minutes for us. And the front three's probably going to stay the same. Is anyone going to do anything different?
I think it's difficult when you're playing less because you've got such technical midfielders, isn't it? Like, yeah. James Maddison, Harvey Barnes, people like that. I think that kind of suits the three that played last night, of, you know, the press and running around and trying to counter that, whereas I think you're trying to put in a creative midfielder. I'd say Chamberlain. I don't think it quite suits it just yet, although he's another one where you're thinking, you know, he's not had really much game time. Can you afford to chuck someone who's rusty in such another high-pressure game?
Naby looked good last night, but as you say, it's one of them games that we need to win. Leicester on good form, and it's like, I wouldn't throw him into this sort of game. I just stick to what we know best.
Milner might be a shout. Mm.
I know. Yeah. If Paul was sat here talking to us, he'd be very much saying we need something off the bench, because he likes to say that a lot, doesn't he? And I think Yanabi might be something off the bench in this game as well, as you did Origi. Just change the game slightly with the midfield.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because you're looking at it, you're going, this is the last game until international break and then United, but international break, most of our players are international players. They don't really get a break.
And Milner's the one, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And I think I'd be fine with Milner coming in. I'd also be fine with Keita coming in. I don't think Oxlade-Chamberlain's done enough yet. And it's a shame, because I think he's a fantastic player and he hit some levels when he was playing for us that I forgot about, quite honestly. And I had to watch it back and go, you were fantastic, mate. You were breaking lines, running through, really good passing and stuff. I don't think he's done too much yet. What's the game where him and Keita can come in and prove that? Because they're all must wins. When did he come in? You don't want them to be coming into a completely changed 11 in the cups, because you can't really prove yourself. It's also stilted around the pitch that they can't get into the flow. Is this one of the games where Naby Keita comes in for the Gino Wijnaldum and has that presence a bit deeper running forward? Is it the time when Oxlade-Chamberlain comes in on that right-hand side instead of Henderson? But is he going to do the defensive work? Is he going to link up in the exact same way? It's tough. I mean, you're not dropping Fabinho, and I don't think you're dropping any of the front three. I think it's them two number eight positions for me where you're changing things. I don't think we should. But then, when are people getting rests? When are we rotating? When are people getting game time to prove themselves? Like I said,
I know. I think that's right. I'm not. I'm thankfully not doing the starting 11 prediction this week, because it's been almost really easy. He's been picking his best side. I actually have a sneaking suspicion Keita might come into this game, because he's been talking him up in the press the last few days, hasn't he? And obviously prior to the Champions League game, I'm getting a few minutes. I just wonder whether one of Gini or Hendo might get a little rest this time around.
Well, I thought Keita would start against Salzburg, obviously it being his former club, and that I thought Klopp would give him a start then, but maybe you're right, maybe it's this weekend that he's going to get his time to shine. And I think he's one of them players that can change the game. He can have a massive influence on this game, but for me, it's too big a risk changing things. I think sticking to what we know, that midfield is very impressive, it's very balanced, and we don't need a creative
This is all from the final word, you know, these in-jokes, by the way. I went off big time because I'm getting dead annoyed with people telling me that we need a creative midfielder.
You got your sheet of paper and you're like,
it's destroyed. I mean, it's...
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I mean, I say it's destroyed, it's crinkled. It probably won't even.
Oh, you angry man.
It was
the hardest punch he's got as well. He was laying into it. It was great.
Five finger death punch, I think it was, like. Which is a band, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Go ahead.
Rock band.
Death metal.
Yeah. They do the rock concert. Another in joke from the final word. Sorry, everyone. And sorry, Ross. It was. It's really good. Go and check it out. So we're going to do rival fixtures next. Brighton take on a deflated and dejected Tottenham Hotspur. But at least they don't have to play in front of their own fans again, because, you know, they won't be very happy with them.
Spurs
what the fuck happened to Spurs? They were like the third best team in this league.
Yeah. They have to bounce back. Just for Pochettino, I've willingness.
We're 10 points out of Spurs after seven games.
Good, that, isn't it?
It's but if you're Brighton, you're thinking it's the perfect time to play Spurs, isn't it? Because you're already deflated.
Wounded animal, though. There'll be gamers of Badger right now. You don't want to back a Badger into a corner, and you don't want to back Spurs after they've been tonked 7-2.
No, they're good. Like Son is going to come out there. Kane's going to dive, get a few pens.
Yeah, get Kane in your fantasy team this weekend. Yeah,
you reckon?
Yeah. To be honest, like Spurs are good. It's weird. Bayern, I think
they're good, but then they keep losing games of football by ridiculous scorelines.
Their form
for
the past 20 games is horrific.
It's mad.
Fucking result they got to the Champions League final.
We broke them. We broke Barcelona as well, I think they got lucky.
I mean, they were already half broken, but it's mad. Every team we played last season,
they were never there to
shit.
Be broken.
I know, yeah, exactly.
So which time did we break Tottenham? Was it the league or the Champions League?
I think the Champions League, completely annulled. Because they were Pochettino was going to leave on a high, and now he's I'm stuck with this shite.
Yeah. I think Tottenham broke themselves with some of the stuff I've been hearing about.
Rumours about Overtongan and that, and Ericsson.
Yeah, yeah. Ask me about that.
Oh my days. I got told that off camera somewhere yesterday.
Gone for John Terry.
Before it broke.
Gone for John Terry.
We'll talk about it a little bit after the show. I'm sure if you just type in Vertonghen Ericsson Twitter, someone's wife, you will then get the gist. The story that has been alleged.
I've already got the gist.
Over on Twitter, yeah. So, yeah, there you go. It looks like there's two factions of Spurs fans, the ones who back alleged troublemaking and the ones who don't. So we've got Burnley and Everton up next in this one.
Alleged, I love it. Just cover your back. Burnley Everton's going to be interesting.
Just in case. Is it really going to be interesting?
Is it really? Said no one ever.
No, it's going to be interesting just to see how many players get battered on that pitch. Because they're both two teams, you just don't, Burnley are going to twat Everton everywhere, and I don't know, at least Everton aren't at home.
You know I think I mean? Burnley win that one.
Definitely.
I'm saying 0-0.
I think it's a 0-0. Everton draw 0-0 constantly or lose to City. But they played well against City, though, to be fair to them, but they just can't seem to bring themselves up to any other game.
That's Everton, they always play well in games like that. They literally...
The old lady starts getting loud, Goodison Park.
They play all right in games like that, and then they shit against Burnley, so it'd be boring 0-0, last on match of the day.
Nothing to look forward to, the weekend blues. Sunday, Arsenal-Bournemouth. I'm not sure where this one goes either. I think I'll probably go home win just because it is an Arsenal ground.
It's the sort of game Arsenal lose, though.
It's a good point, well presented.
You're very negative today, Jack.
They're
you're
all
right.
Shit, aren't
Just literally.
It's not Liverpool and City.
Liverpool and City win every game, every other team, they're shite.
But even Arsenal on Monday, it was like a competition to who could be the shittest on Monday. Yeah, it was awful. A terrible game of football.
Awful.
Whereas Bournemouth are playing.
I turned the game off, I'll be honest. And then I go on Twitter and all I see is, this is the shittest game of football. Why are you all still watching it? It's shit. Yeah. It's terrible. I'd literally rather sit there and look at me fucking wall, which my wife picked the wallpaper off. I don't even like it. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous.
Did you have to put it up?
Yeah, of course I had to put it up. How do you think I put me back out?
Yeah.
That game was summed up by the fact that Scott McTominay was the best player on the pitch.
Scott McTominay, great hell player. Of a finish, to be fair to him.
He wouldn't even walk into our bench. Wouldn't even get in our squad.
I love it. So City Wolves, I mean,
City.
They gave them a bloody nose last season, Wolves.
Yeah, but Wolves.
They're one of those counter-attacking sides last season, not this season. I'm not sure they've been very good this season, you know, Wolves. They haven't got the magic.
I'd love it, but I'm not going to be watching that game because there's no point. It's one of them where you watch City sometimes and you saw it against Everton, the way they passed the ball around. They're the best team. I know we're fantastic and we're better than them in points-wise, but in terms of play on the field, they're just fantastic. The way they put the ball around, they're going to beat every team they come up against apart from us. Was it Newcastle? Who was it?
Newcastle.
You know what I mean? It's tough. You've got to be so defensively resilient, and City have got to have an off day. I don't see them having off days anymore, to be honest with you.
They're still bouncing back from when they lost to Norwich. They're going to go on a run until they play us and we smack them.
They've got a couple of injuries though, haven't they? Probably
De Bruyne out now, right?
De Bruyne, Stones, Laporte. But if you're going to play City, I know what you mean.
What's the stuff hanging over Silva, Ross? Obviously.
I think the latest, he might face a six-match ban, but I don't think it's been decided yet.
No. Wow.
So obviously, if he's out, you know, if De Bruyne's not there, it's been hard to sell. But at the same time, you know, if he's not there, you put Mahrez in there, so you know, it's pick your poison with them. But you know, it's City at the weakest, which is still pretty strong.
Even Foden as well. I think Foden's a very good player, and he'll probably.
Foden's going to be a good player.
The Wolves play tonight as well.
Is he overrated for a lad who's had about 400 minutes in his career?
I think more like
a fucking Guardiola keeps going on about him. He goes on about Phil Foden almost as much as he goes on about Liverpool.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be the fucking best player in the world. If he's the best player in the world, why is he not fucking playing in your team, lad?
Yeah, no.
Stop blowing smoke up this kid's ass. He may well go and be a fucking fantastic player, and I think he will be.
He will.
But he's done about 400 minutes, that's it.
Hello.
Ten's done about 20,000 now.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
It's hard, but it's one of them where, they've got quality all over the pitch. How do you break into that side?
I think that's what Guardiola said the other day, didn't he, when he came on and scored? I think he said, turned around and said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not giving him much game time, but he can't get in because I've got De Bruyne, I've got Bernardo, I've got Mahrez.
You're not swapping out De Bruyne for anyone. I think he's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
Not by a country mile, but I think just in terms of his all-round goal return, creating assists, he's the most dangerous player in this league.
They've got an extra day's rest, City, as well, because Wolves are playing Besiktas in Group K of the Europa League.
K,
yeah.
Is that must be the last one?
Nope.
How many does it go down to? Z?
L.
L. Okay, close. So, Phil Foden, just in case, you know, yous were all arsed, I know this. In the Premier League, in his career, has played 366 minutes.
Right.
The most overrated player in world football.
How many goals has he got in the town?
He has one goal and one assist. His assist came back in 2017-18, and his goal was last season.
Okay.
13 appearances last season for a total of 316 minutes.
I think there was a comparison between him and a couple of lads at his age. I think Sancho's in that bracket and someone else, and the game time they've got, and it's significantly higher.
Do you know how many minutes he's had this season? Fucking nine. Can we please just, until he's done something, since he's played more than five matches, can we at least just dial down the Phil Foden love here, please?
I don't see too. I don't follow many God almighty City Twitter accounts, but. Yeah,
Can you see it? Is it just me?
Oh no, I don't get where it's come from. I just hear that he's a good player and that they have all these options. So, actually, if he's there, then Wolves who are playing Besiktas on Thursday, City would play Tuesday night and Sunday. I just think it's one of them games where you just slot him in, like when we make changes, just slot him in and see what he does.
City
get
win 100%.
Get more minutes,
definitely.
Yeah.
So we'll move on then. Southampton, Chelsea. It's just Chelsea looking good at the moment. Going to win in the Champions League away from home. Was it Lille last night they were playing? They go up 1-0, don't they? Then it goes 1-0. Willian gets the winner in the 78th minute, something like that, I think, from them.
They've got good players. That's the mad thing about them. We saw in the Super Cup, they were really, really good for spells. Kante, the other day against us, was the difference maker. I don't know what the problem is. Maybe it's Lampard, but they're 10 points behind us. You've got quality in the team. The experience fair, quality as well.
Ross Barkley can't even pass salad at the minute, can he?
Oh, yeah. Hey. Why you employ him?
Fucking him and his taxi jokes.
It's funny.
It was funny. Where was that?
In Liverpool.
Was it, yeah?
It was outside Hannah's Bar, looking by the looks
of things. Outside Hannah's Bar, yeah.
Apparently it's an old video, though.
It was from this week.
Yeah. They're saying apparently he's got a tattoo on his arm that he's had removed, and you can see it on the video.
That was his order.
Nice. So we'll move on then. Chelsea to make top four, by the way. Still set. I said at the start.
And Leicester.
Fuck it.
I'm back in Leicester.
Tottenham and Chelsea.
I'm back in Leicester.
Yeah. Tottenham somehow turn it round. I mean, they are only 3 points behind Leicester, so I think they can probably do it, but they do need to start, you know, not conceding seven every game. Newcastle, United.
I saw that.
Nil-nil. Are playing.
0-0.
Steve Bruce has managed against Manchester United 22 times in his career and never has had a victory against Manchester United.
Well,
I think the other three sides he's played against and never won it, like Peterborough, Rochdale and someone else, are Man United, the team that he used to captain.
Yeah. I honestly, I think United are so disjointed. They'll probably still beat Newcastle.
Newcastle.
it doesn't matter. I know they got twatted by Leicester, but Andy were really poor. Actually, no, yeah, they're losing. It's fine. I was going to make a case for them. No, they're terrible. Terrible.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's another 0-0, because you know they can't score for shit at the minute. They just can't score. I mean, looking at their attack, they're really regretting not... Well, Lukaku was a bit shit, but they're really regretting not replacing him.
This has just been talking a little bit about Leicester and then us bashing everything.
This is why we do this section. Yeah. It's my favourite section of the show now. It's great. You never get bored of bashing the other teams in the league.
United at the minute remind me of our team when Rodgers left. That sort of like Lambert, Balotelli, that sort of...
I was sat having a conversation yesterday with... four Manx and me, and I've never been so happy to sit and have a conversation with four Manx. It was glorious. I was at Squawker, and the main presenter was running a bit late, so we just sat there having a chat about the footy and the misery, and I'd sort of ask a question and more misery would just sort of roll off them all. And after about 25 minutes, I just went, I just want you to know, lads, I've really enjoyed today's chat. It's been absolutely fantastic. If you just wanted, like, keep the misery coming, this will fuel me for weeks, boys.
But they're so angry that they got the Liverpool team wrong and spelled half of them wrong, by the way.
That was funny, wasn't it?
So it was like Ryan Kent was on there, Clown was on there, Bobby Duncan was on there. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, so good.
I'll referring back to that video of you and that deluded United fan where you're literally telling him that this is going to happen and he's like, nah, you can fuck off you. And this is literally what is happening.
It's good. I'm 2-0 on those videos. I'm never doing another one because the likelihood is next time I'm not going to get that.
You got very lucky.
You've got their own injury worries at the minute as well. I think Pogba's injured and half the midfield injured.
I wouldn't be worried if Pogba was injured.
No, but in comparison to the rest of the team that they've got.
Well, Tomlin's well better. They're playing Pogba deep. They're playing Pogba deep to accommodate Scott McTominay.
After buying Fred Matic and three other people to unlock Pogba for 3 years.
He's the best player in the world. You just need three players around him that can make him have a half-decent game of footy. But lads, he's the best player in the world. Like, you know what I mean? Messi just does it on his own. Suarez used to do it for us on his own. Best players in the world. They don't need Matic to make them look good, honestly. Unless it's just a comparison side by side. Because Matic, as good a player as he was, he's not very good now.
I hope we stay this good forever, you know, just so we can do this, because I'm making the most of it at the moment. Yeah, I feel sorry for every other fan, but you're all Liverpool fans watching this, aren't you?
So, and if you're not,
yeah.
There you go. That's been the end of what was a fantastic build-up show. We're going to do score predictions in a second. Newcastle to beat United by 5-0 for me. And then Liverpool...
No, six.
Oh, I was going to use that as my score prediction, though. No,
Leicester then Rush.
3-1.
2-1.
4-2.
I actually think we're going to draw. I actually think we're going to score a draw 1-1. Okay. There you go. I'm sorry to put a damper on it.
I know.
Was that last season?
Wasn't
that was one of the
draws, wasn't
it, last season? Was it? Yeah, I can't
remember. Leicester West Ham, yeah. Yeah, we beat them 2-1 away, didn't we? That was the Alisson mess-up, I remember that one.
Maguire scored that header, didn't he? Twice. Yeah.
Well, hopefully it won't be Soyuncu. Soyuncu. This time around. I don't know how to say it with them accents. I don't know what they mean.
Yeah, no. We need one of them Google.
Oh, yeah, we should definitely do that. I'll end the show first.
Okay.
Thank you very much for watching. Leave us your thoughts in the comments section below. Don't forget to check out theredmentu.com. That final word is an absolute belter, by the way. And we have a little laugh at Spurs expense again. So if you're not bored of that, there's four lads belly laughing about Spurs because they're shite. Thank you very much. Thank you three very much. Thank you to Simon behind the glass on the 1s, 2s, and 3s. Like the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and we'll see you for tomorrow's Starting 11 show. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.